Welcome to
Men's Book Club.
Men's Book Club Part 2, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
I don't know if I told you, but that's how I read the whole book.
Oh, yeah. You did say. You read in accents.
I was just like, he said he'd stay, Carl said. Now I'm feeding him 3 times a day to sit around and play cards with you. That's how I read
it. It's a talent.
It definitely slows down the reading.
I bet. I did not read it like that.
I'm like, how would they say alcohol and not alcohol?
The only way I could read like that is if it's written kind of like that. Like if it's...
Oh, I hate that.
If it's written in that accent, then I can... Oh, I could see it. But I can't go... I don't usually... I just read in my voice.
I don't like when they write like that because I get so confused. I read once... What's his name? Mark Twain's book, and his entire communication is written by a poor white kid and a slave black guy, obviously, and the entire book is just written in 2 tongues that don't know how to speak proper English. Drove me nuts.
Yeah, I can see if it's like one character, I can kind of get away, yeah. You know, whatever, but...
Yeah. And also, all of them, William Faulkner writes the same way. I don't know. It just bugs me because it's like, just write it. It's okay.
I'm not a big fan of, what's his name? Cormac McCarthy. And mainly because, I'm not sure if it's like the accent, but there's no quotation. It's just.
Oh, wow.
You don't even know who's speaking. Just confuse it. Talk about confusing. You know,
And it wasn't that one book. That's just how he writes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which is like. Kind of like I understand everybody has a different style, but
yeah, just, it was unnecessary. Seems unnecessary.
Pretty weird style.
Pretty weird. We're gonna talk a little bit about this book. So I think on our last episode we talked a little bit more about the synopsis of the book. I think we're gonna do a little bit of a deep dive on this one. Like I said, 860-ish pages of this book kind of gives you a lot to think about. The first thing that I thought was very interesting about this book, and I think this is the best way to dive into this, was the weird relationship between Augustus and Call, because it didn't seem to me like either one of them would be led, and yet somehow they were both co-leaders, and you don't think that would work. And that was a very odd relationship to me.
I could see that, yeah. I mean, now that I haven't really thought about it, but I guess now... now that you put it, I guess... But I guess, like, Augustus was kind of, like, unwilling. He would, like, follow him.
Yeah, which is weird, because he doesn't.
Yeah, but he it's like almost like he lets him take the reins.
He does it with sarcasm.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you wanted to drive the cattle up to Montana. And you're like, but you're doing it. you're doing it.
But I think it, like, kind of works, because he calls, like, kind of the, I don't know, it's like... I think Carl had like the other members kind of feared him.
They kind of respected him. I think.
Yeah, where Augustus is kind of like, oh, he's lazy. He can do it, but he doesn't really.
He doesn't.
Unless he really has to.
And it seems like the times that he does not listen, he's not listening because it's not necessary. Like, he almost knows, oh, this is important enough. Like, I have to round up the cattle. But when he's like, oh, go call what's-his-name, he's like, I'm not calling him. Like,
If for an important thing, he'll do it. For important stuff, he does
it. The second thing I thought was interesting, I don't know if you felt this way. I'm horrible with names, so it might just be a me thing. But I was constantly confused by the Hat Creek outfit. I couldn't tell you which character did what. I couldn't tell you. I
remember Dietz was the lookout
Dietz
guy?
Dietz
the
was,
scout.
Dietz was the black guy. That's
how
I know.
Was he like a scout?
Yeah,
or?
He was a scout. And the new
was the call's son.
And
or the newbie.
Yeah. And then whatever. The other ones, I couldn't tell you them apart. None. P.I.
Yeah,
Jasper.
I don't know. I just thought, I figured a lot of the other ones were just like good ranch hands.
Yeah, but
but just, yeah, I couldn't really. You could differentiate some of them. PI was like a more veteran guy. Then there were some younger guys from Ireland or whatever.
But none of them had a memorable enough for me. Like All right, here's a perfect example. When Augustus died, he was with somebody, and I couldn't tell you who.
He was with P.I.
Okay.
Right?
See?
I think he was because Dietz died at that point.
Dietz died at that point.
And that's the reason Augustus was doing that.
But you didn't. That to me felt like they could have put anybody with
Augustus. No, they could have.
It was. I constantly kept, like you said, Dietz and Newt were.
But they were focused on a little bit more.
Yeah, but from the beginning of the book, these guys were there. Like some of them were there.
I think they were just like ranch. To me, Dietz had a role. Newt was like the younger one. Mm-hmm. So there was alluded that he was, you don't call son or whatever. So he was important. P.I. was like more of like a, seemed like a veteran, like he's been around.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there were some like guys that were just rookies, like even newer than Newt that were just there to.
Yeah.
Who knows?
For
the ride.
I get that. I get it. I think maybe they were supposed to be like almost filler characters.
Yeah, not everybody. I think it was such a big, not everybody can have.
Exactly.
And not that you know too much about Dietz, only that he's.
Yeah, like
I only knew he's a scout. He's black. I mean.
Yeah, that was a sad death.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you know, we're not going to have a spinoff of any of these characters. That's the point, I think. we talk about them not being memorable. The fact that all of them survived those conditions, I would never be able to survive any of that.
No,
stuff.
I would die the first day.
I would run away as soon.
Honestly, I wouldn't be. There is. You know what? It's such a. Sometimes you think about like pirates, or you think about these people that explored, and you're like, that's cool.
Right.
I can never do it.
Yeah.
But it is kind of cool that these people kind of existed. I guess in that time, there was nothing.
It was either staying in Texas or getting paid to go up to Montana. I get it. I just, in my mind, I think, you know, jokingly, I say I would do this, but I know for a fact I wouldn't be able to. And the fact that they were rounding up 6,000 cattle and horses and driving them just, look, I couldn't get a horse to go from here to across the parking lot. Like, there's no chance that these.
And you're also going. This isn't like you're going, oh, I'm going to California. You're you're going to an unsettled place that has no towns.
Exactly.
That are probably close.
Which is honestly one of my favorite things about the story was that every single. It seemed like when they got to Kansas and it was the open plains, it felt different. They had different problems. They had different things that they needed to overcome, like in that one there was no trees, so there was no place for them to kind of camp under, and then the grasshopper plague happened there, and once they got to, like, you know, when they were still in Texas, the heat was killing them, but they were kind of going into the only thing that they kept looking forward to was these big towns. I followed this on the map, like I was like, oh, where is the Colorado River?
Okay.
And I was looking to see that. And it's so crazy that they were like 600 pages in or something like that, and still they're like in Texas. Like a big, not really, I think it was like 300 or 400 pages in, but they were in Texas for a long, long time. And you're like, all right, a lot of time has passed. I'm sure they're now like, they're at least in like Nebraska or something. Nope, sure shit. They're still like.
I mean, but if you think about it, even driving, if you were going just a car, because I knew people that drove L.A. to Florida. That's where they lived.
Mm.
And you know, just when you look at Texas, like
massive.
That's probably a day or two.
Yeah, and they're going from the bottom to the top. Yeah. I could see that.
And they're going by horse, so it's even slower.
Yeah, and rounding up cattle.
And cattle.
Yeah.
I guess with just horses, maybe you could do it a little faster, but no.
Yeah. The crazy guy was the new cook that showed up that was walking everywhere. I thought that was very interesting. I think I mentioned this to you. Maybe I didn't, but what I could not get past in this book in a good way was. There wasn't a lot of description about nature, right? Like, he wasn't like, oh, the tree was cascading on the moonlight, blah, blah. That wasn't it. But it to me, felt like he just wrote enough that I truly felt like I could see what they could see. Like when he was saying that the moon was heavy in the middle of the sky and it felt like you could get up and retouch it. That to me was enough description for me to be like, I feel like I'm in Kansas Plains right now. It was so well done. That's just something I wanted to point out, that I think he did a very good job of, you can kind of feel like you're on this journey with them, but you didn't have to get bogged down in the details.
Yeah, and if they're honestly, if he did write a lot of details, this book would be...
Yeah. Oh, Matt.
I mean, it would be 1,600 pages.
Yeah. yeah. I want to focus in on July Johnson a little bit, because I feel like he...
Great name.
July Johnson. July Johnson. To me, it's a wonder he didn't die like 6 times in this book already. There's so many near-death experiences for this guy, and he almost died of thirst. He almost died on his way to different towns. He almost died by the hands of Indians. He almost died going after his wife. He almost died going after Jake Spoon. I mean, there's so many times. He almost died by the hands of the guys who ended up befriending Jake
Spoon.
Clara
will get him eventually.
Yeah, all right. He had so many near-death experiences, and we mentioned this in the last episode where his story was so parallel the entire time. You really never knew what his ending, what the purpose of his story was. And the more that you got to know this guy, at least for me, did you feel horrible for this guy the whole time? Did you feel like
bad for him? A little. Mm-hmm. I mean, mainly because like he wasn't brave, but Roscoe was even like less brave.
Right.
It felt like
Roscoe's a deputy. Yeah. Right.
So like he kind of leaves them when he probably shouldn't have. They all get slaughtered.
to be fair, he left them thinking that was safer.
I guess. Yeah. Well, I guess he could have been there to help them.
Yeah, but he wanted to feel like he was helping.
But but then he ended up doing nothing. So
he did nothing either way.
But maybe he probably would end up dying anyway because he wouldn't have done anything with those Indians.
Why did he keep going after his wife?
I don't know.
She kept telling him she doesn't want to be with him. Why would he keep going after her?
It was almost like he didn't believe her.
Yeah, so crazy.
I thought that was a little ridiculous. It's like. She did tell him numerous times. Yeah. And other people have been like, just let her go. and he wasn't even going to, because he left like again trying to with Clara and he's like, oh, I'm gonna go. And then they realized
she left. Gone. Yeah, she ran away multiple times. That's what it is. Yeah,
he didn't even seem like a bad guy, but like she clearly didn't wanna.
She was very focused on that guy, I forget his name.
Yeah, the D-Boots.
D-Boots, yeah. She really wanted to be with that guy. And nothing else, including her own children, two of them, didn't matter to her. She could only see, which was the craziest part of that whole relationship. Yes, July kept going after her a million times, but her obsession with that guy, what... on God's earth, like, what's happening there? Like, what are you exactly after this one guy for? You have a husband. Okay, you don't like your husband, but you have two children. You live in Arkansas. You don't know where he is. She went to Kansas.
She risked her life multiple times.
Multiple times. She's on her deathbed. he's in prison. She's trying to break him out. Like, she has... And it was very sad that
her motivation is like very interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to even know because she was like, you spend a little bit of time with her, but you don't really.
Gentlemen, find you a woman that loves you the way that Elmira loves Deep Boots.
That's what you want. You want somebody to just track you down.
Yeah.
You could be in, wherever.
Which is very, like, I think her running away gave July a purpose because he left looking for Jake, but he really was looking for her
once she found out.
So Roscoe follows him, tells him that his wife kind of ran away, and from that moment forward, he stops looking for Jake. He never really wanted to look for Jake.
I think it's more like July Johnson, like we said, is the opposite of like Gus and Call, like, where they succeed in a lot, he fails in everything. He doesn't capture Jake Spoon, not even close.
He doesn't see him.
He can't get his wife back. He fails at keeping people alive.
Yeah, he's not a good dad when that kid is born.
He can't get Claire. She has nothing to do with him. Yeah. Like, so where like everybody is kind of like, where Gus, you're like, Gus can be successful. Yeah. He's going to be successful. Yeah, yeah. He's the opposite.
That's hilarious.
He's the opposite. Yeah. Complete opposite.
I agree 100%. It seems like he can't do anything right. That's all it is. And the only thing that he did right was end up in Clara's doorstep.
Yeah, yeah.
And
where she took care of him because he won't die.
Yeah, because he won't die. Right.
But that's it.
Yeah.
It's basically like she had to be like, dummy. If you go anywhere, you're dead.
Right.
If you stay here, you can help me. And right. he still couldn't even. Like, he had to really be. His wife had to be missing and dead for him to be like, okay.
You're talking about a guy who didn't care that his brother was dead. You're talking about
that's the most fascinating part. Is like, to me, that's the most fascinating part. We talked about the last episode. Your brother dies. Okay, he gets shot. Your first instinct is not to follow this guy. And on top of that, you need your sister-in-law to be like, you should go after this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes no sense.
Some lady needs to come and tell you that you need to do something about it.
And it's not even like, it's not even your sister. It's your sister-in-law.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're like, oh, yeah, I guess I will.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a very strange story altogether. His wife is weird. He's weird. Roscoe's weird.
Now, as part of... I wonder if it was like, does the sister-in-law know that she doesn't like July Johnson, and that's like the perfect opportunity to get her, that she can leave?
Like, I don't know. When she talked to him about it, she seemed like she was concerned about her sister.
Mm.
She kind of, when she went to Roscoe, she asked Roscoe to find her.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she kind of seemed like she was concerned. And I don't know. Maybe. We don't know too much about Peach. What is very intriguing also about that part of the story is that random girl that was being held captive.
Oh, yeah.
And that ended up kind of running away with...
whatever her name is.
What is it?
Jane.
Jane? Is that what it was? I completely forgot.
Actually, that leads me to another point. Was it July Johnson or Roscoe? They end up with this woman in the woods. I think it was Roscoe.
Yeah.
And that actually was gonna... that could have worked out. Like,
yeah.
That was like the one time that I think like, a woman was actually like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. In my head, she seemed fairly young, and Roscoe seemed fairly old.
Oh yeah, I thought she was like in her 40s. I don't know.
No, really? She's younger. She was younger, but.
Bad in those times, I feel like.
No, I'm not saying that would have stopped him. I'm just saying. I'm just saying that. First of all, she's being almost held captive by her husband, who is beating her and bought her and basically mistreating her like shit.
Oh, the Jane lady?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she ends up running away and...
she had fast legs.
She's a very fast runner, apparently. And she ends up following Roscoe, and she kind of latches on to Roscoe and becomes a very helpful person. She saves his life by throwing rocks at when he's about to get robbed. She kind of does a lot for
them.
I wonder
if she was like included because you're like, well, they're not going to die with her. Mm. She gets her rocks.
I don't know. It seems she kind of starts and ends like out of, I don't know. I don't know if the author was like throwing these characters in this to add realism, or there's a purpose that I'm missing. It seems like she had no purpose. Yes, she obviously saved his life, but that could have been done in a million different ways. It seemed like, why would he stumble upon this girl to just have her die 100 pages later? When honestly, I started to like her. I was like, this girl's going to save their asses.
I mean, maybe that's why.
I don't know. Maybe it's realism. Maybe he was doing this to kind of like...
maybe it was why you're attached to these people and then they...
yeah.
I also think it was something where... personally, I think people had to die in the book.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, I agree 100%. One of my favorite parts is going to make me sound like a psychopath, but when July Johnson's crew died, I thought, yes, like that, there was so much holy shit in that.
No, I think people had to die in the book, and I think it wasn't time for other people to die.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some deaths, like the snake and
yeah,
other things, but I think they needed Indians or somebody to do it, and it was just, we could kill off these people, and you don't really, they're not the Hakri people. So I think they had to do it. I think they were included to die pretty much.
Yeah, I agree. I want to cover very quickly our friend Jake Spoon.
Yes.
Who I disliked from the very beginning. I obviously liked the character because he was necessary, but if I would have been hanging out around Jake Spoon, I would have shot him myself. He was so obnoxious on so many levels. Were you a big fan of Jake Spoon besides his name?
He was a weird character.
Yeah, he's very weird.
It's actually just so fun. He comes out of nowhere after years of not being there, and he's like, "Yeah, Montana's good."
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just like, and exactly. Carl gets it in his head, and it's just funny that this one guy.
Yeah.
That if he didn't come, if he wasn't, he didn't shoot somebody. Mm-hmm. He's not in this town. They probably don't go there.
Yeah.
It's like this. I guess, like, in a way, Carl was looking for adventure. So maybe that was just spark.
Yeah. Maybe a different adventure. Maybe he was looking more for, like, gambling and whoring around and stuff, not necessarily, like, finding land. Now, speaking of finding land, was the point. To me, it seemed like when Carl got to Montana, he was the most depressed in his life. Put aside Gus's death. It just seemed to me like he just completed a task. He's one of those people where, like, okay, now what?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I think that's what makes it so crazy. It's like, I think that's why Augustus ended up
wanting to kill himself
right? Because I think they knew it's like they were rangers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think their whole point was just, I think the adventure was more what Carl wanted than actual, maybe he didn't even know.
Maybe I don't think he did, because he was adding more the thing that, like, the first time you see this is, like, they get to Montana and then he's like, no, let's keep going. And they push up and he keeps says keep going. And then he pushes up and says keep going. And they even said in the book, he's like, if we go anymore, we're going to be in Canada. And he finds this place, this piece of land, and then he's like, okay, let's build a ranch. Okay, let's do more. Okay, let's go raise cattle. Okay, let's go sell them. Okay. He kept constantly, like, it wasn't enough. The goal was, I'm going to establish a Montana ranch. And then he does that, and then he's like, I'm bored of it. Let me go down to take my sweet time going down to Texas.
And it's like, it is kind of like weird because you have Newt there. That's his son.
Which he really doesn't recognize.
No, he doesn't recognize, but gives him, I don't know, the horse or whatever. Mm-hmm. And some other things, but like.
Symbolic gesture.
But like, kinship. That's not what he wanted, I guess. Like, no. I mean, Newt probably. So it's like really this empty gesture, really.
I agree. I think, look, obviously everybody's favorite characters are like Gus and Carl. They're kind of very interesting because they're kind of yin and yang. But when it seemed like the last 100 pages, which is really when Gus dies, I would say. And then there was 100 pages after Gus's death that Carl just stops being himself. And half of it is probably related to the fact that they made it. And the other half is he doesn't have that pushback from Gus, where they kind of, like, you know, he needed that. He was almost like all these people are working for him. And whereas for him, Gus was sort of working with him. And now he accomplished what he needed to. His friend is no longer with him. He had really nothing.
Yeah, I feel like he had no purpose.
Which, again, when he travels down from Montana to take Gus's body all the way down to Texas, and he's burying him. By the way, one of my favorite parts about Clara was when Carl brings Gus's body, and he tells her that he's going to take him and bury her where they used to date. And instead of her feeling any sentimental she's crazy. She's like, what an idiot. We used to have a horrible time over there. It was one of the worst places to go on a date. What an idiot thing. It was such a... I don't know.
I wonder if it was more like Gus doing it for a call.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, like giving him another adventure.
Oh, that's a good one.
Maybe.
Wow, that just blew my mind a little bit.
I just thought about it.
That was pretty good. Yeah. You could see, yeah.
Maybe he thought that I'm dead.
Yeah.
Or I'm going
to
be dead.
Or maybe he like sending him back to where he came from. And having another, because now he has to go back up to Montana again.
If he does. Yeah, maybe he does. Because obviously Gus wouldn't know if he would or not. Yeah. But maybe he knows that that Carl likes that.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes so much. I mean, do you think the right person? I mean, it's hard to answer, but do you think the right one died of them too? Because if Gus survived or Carl died,
I think the right person survived. I don't think they would have stayed in. I think if Carl died, Gus would have left the to figure it out for themselves. They're like, all right, boys.
And this way, Carl kind of does.
And but I don't think Gus would have taken Carl's body if Carl asked. Probably. He just would have been like, that's ridiculous.
No, I think he would have just been like, all right. But Carl might not come back ever to that ranch. But I think they stay at that ranch in case he does come back. Like in a weird way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also, I went, when he goes to Lonesome Dove and he gets all the way to the saloon and sort of stands there. And now he, at that point, has nothing. No friend. He's still not married. He still doesn't have a relationship with his son.
Yeah, and he can't even admit it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that would give him some happiness, you would think. Like, oh, my friend died, but I gained a son. I mean, once Augustus told Newt that, I'm like, Augustus is dead. Because he kind of, there's no other, it kind of reminds me of that show, like, Lost, where, like, you did your purpose, you're done.
Exactly.
And he kind of served his purpose. And it's much more interesting Carl living and not recognizing his son.
Yeah. Look, there is a second book to this. I don't know if any of these... I don't know if what it. I know
it's Carl is Fig in. Newtons.
I know Carl is in it. I know that one of them, PI or Jasper, one of them is in it also, and so is Lorena.
Man, they just don't go away.
Which is very interesting.
So Newt's not in it.
I don't know. I just know that those three are definitely in it. That's at least what the synopsis said. But it's something about Laredo, and it's basically they're kind of in Texas again. So
interesting.
Yeah, it would be very interesting. It'd just be very interesting to see how that is. I actually definitely want to read that. Look, Frontier Justice, The Pioneering Spirit. This book has it all, baby. It's just everything.
Yeah, it's
you could possibly want from a Western.
You know what? If people have reservations, it's a long book, but it has to be.
It has to be 100%.
Because if you're like, I'm going to Texas to Montana, it's like 100 pages. Yeah. You're like,
No, this book could not be anything less than it is. And I'll tell you something, it could not be more than it is. Because when those last 100 pages hit and there is this like melancholy call and everything is depressing, you feel like, oh, I don't know how much more of this I can take. And then it ends. You just don't want to sit there.
Because Augustus was my favorite character only because I think he had a
sense of humor.
Yeah, he had a sense of humor. He just had these like random facts and it actually makes sense. If you're going to like, you need somebody like that. You would fucking go crazy.
Absolutely, 100%.
Like you, I think that's why they balance them out so much, because what Carl is this like. He just reminds me of this tall guy with a mustache and just hammers all day. But you need somebody that's like,
yeah, yeah. Funny, I agree. Whatever. Look, I think every character was written, at least of the major ones, like Lorena and Jake and Augustus and Carl. They were written so perfectly well, and the moment that he took them out with a really good purpose. Like, Jake Spoon's purpose was served, and then he was gone, and I really didn't even think about him after he died at all until, like, way later. And
I mean, Augustus was like, you knew that somebody, one of them had to die because they built him up so well of, like, he rescued Lorena by himself.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're like, there's going to come a time where he can't do that.
Pay the piper.
Yeah.
Pay the piper. Okay. What's your rating of this book, 1 through 5?
What did I give it the last? 5.
Yeah. 5 all across the board. 5.
Because I think it's, sure, there's other, you know, you could always nitpick about stuff. And I can nitpick about, like, the July Johnson stuff is not the most, in the beginning, the most interesting. Mm-hmm. But it works out at the end. Or you can nitpick and be like, well,
yeah,
they all ended up with Clara somehow. Yeah. So, but, you know,
I forget
about that stuff.
I agree with you. You could obviously nitpick everything about a lot of books, but for what this is, which is a pioneering book about taking an adventure, it's about the West, it's about characters that you actually get really attached to, it could not be better.
It's kind of like, and it's also like you have friends that you have, like, oh man, like, mm-hmm. It's like a bond, this bonding experience.
Exactly. Yeah, you miss them. I miss them.
Yeah.
And I told you this the other day. I was like, this book ruined books for me because now I can't find anything that I would want to read that is half as compelling as this without diving into another 800-page excursion.
Hey, when I read Harry Potter for the first time and then you're done with Harry Potter, like, what now?
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt about this. I'm like, okay, I either got to take a flyer on a random 900-page book, or I just got
read a 100 page.
No, the point is the characters. This was a very good, very, very good book.
You know what? And it's kind of crazy. If we didn't do this book club, probably wouldn't have read it because of the So actually, I might have because we did talk about last year how I wanted to read longer books. So maybe I would have,
but that was still because of the club. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Look, very excellent book. We both rated it 5 out of 5. Larry McMurtry, Lonesome Dove. He has a lot of books out there, and I'm definitely going to...
Is he still alive? No, he's not.
And I'm definitely going to be reading more of his books. A very fascinating guy. But thank you guys for listening to these two parts.
Now we give him a 5, you give us a 5. Yeah. That's how it works.
That's exactly how it works.
That's how it works.
Give us your thoughts on at Men's Pod, Men's. I always screw this up. Men's Book Club Pod on Instagram. Give us a DM, follows. Let us know what you think. Do you agree with our assessment? Tell us what books you'd like us to read, and we'll see you next time, guys.
All right, bye.
Thank you.